Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. In John 6, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So they're not mere words, they are alive. God's word generates life. In fact, let me just give you a list of the things that God's word does. God's word generates life, it creates faith, it produces change. It frightens the devil, it causes miracles, it heals hurts, and it builds character. God's word transforms circumstances, it imparts joy, it overcomes adversity, it defeats temptation, it infuses hope. God's word releases power, it cleanses our mind, it brings things into being, and it guarantees our future forever. You see, we cannot live without the word of God, so never take it for granted. You should consider God's word as essential to your life as food. You see, the Bible tells us God's word is the spiritual nourishment you must have to fulfill your purpose. So let's start the feast and let's look into God's word today for our daily hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell. In these lessons, Rick makes it very clear that where you spend eternity is really up to you. Just before we begin today's study, you know, Pastor Rick says, while life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two, heaven or hell. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a tool to help you understand the magnitude of that eternal choice. It's called the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Reality of Hell.
Let's just suppose you were a drug addict and you're living in the gutter in Skid Row in L.A. And your life has fallen apart because you are hopelessly addicted to drugs. And you're laying there on the side of the street by the gutter in your own vomit, and you haven't bathed in days or weeks, and your life is a mess. And let's just say I come walking by and I feel pity. I feel grace. I feel love toward you. And I say, you know what? Let me help you out. I tell you what, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to help you out. I'm going to show you grace. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to take you home to my house. And I'm going to give you a bath and I'm going to get you cleaned up and I'm going to give you a new set of clothes. But that's not all I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you live with me at my house. And you can become a part of my family. In fact, I'm going to adopt you. And you can take the Warren name. And I'm going to pay off all your debts that you owe because you spent all that money on drugs. And I'm actually going to give you my credit card, and you have access to the entire resources of the Warren family. You got my name, you got my credit, you can live in my house, you're a part of my family. And I'm doing this simply because I love you. You don't deserve it, you don't earn it, you don't work for it, I just love you, and I want to show you grace. However, if you live in my house as a part of my family, there are some house rules. And you got to abide by these rules if you're going to live in my house and be a part of my family. And rule number one is this. We don't do drugs in this house. We don't do drugs at all. So if you're going to live here and have access to all these free privileges and resources, we don't do drugs in the Warren house. Now, let me ask you three questions about that. Is it reasonable for me to expect that person to abide by the family house rules? Yes. I'm just showing them grace. If they're going to live in my house, then they ought to live by the rules that I set up. It's my house. The same is true with you. Let's say if you were going to say, hey, Rick, I'm going to be gone for a month, and I have a house that's down by the ocean, and Rick, you can come live in my house and use it for a month. And you say, but there are a couple house rules. First, you may not jump up and down on the bed. Okay, is that unreasonable? No, it's your house. Your house, you get to make the rules. And if I'm going to use your house, then I should abide by the rules. You lock up here, and this is what you do. You don't jump on the bed. Fine, that's reasonable. Now, if I offered you to come and say, come live at my house, and you're on drugs, and you reject it, and you say, thank you for your offer, but I'm going to choose to live on Skid Row because the truth is I love my drugs. And I'm not willing to give them up. I'm not willing to give them up to be a part of your family. I'm not willing to give them up for all the other benefits because I love my drugs. And so I'm going to choose to live here on Skid Row in spite of your gracious offer. If you turn me down, would that be my fault? No. No, it would be your fault. And could you blame me for being unloving? No. I had done the loving thing to offer to help you get out of the situation. You couldn't blame me for being unloving. Now let's apply that same logic to going to heaven. Because I hear people all the time say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. You choose to go there. It's like there are two doors in eternity. And one goes to heaven, and one goes to hell. And the one that goes to heaven says, you come to Jesus. This is the house rule. He's already paid for your ticket into heaven. He's already forgiven you. All you got to do is accept it. You just accept what he's done for you. It's a free gift of grace. You go to heaven. You want to go to hell? You just do your own thing. You say, I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be my own God. I don't want God. I don't want anybody telling me what's right or wrong. I don't want to tell anybody tell me what to do. I want to run my own life. Now, if I choose to walk out this door, I certainly can't blame God. He's done everything possible for you to go to heaven. He's already paid for it all. He's made it so easy, you just have to accept it by faith. And if I say, thank you, no, I'd rather stick with what I love more, then that's not God's fault. That's my fault. It is a choice. Does God have a right? Question. Does God have a right to make house rules for his house? Well, yeah, it's his house. And in heaven, he has a right to say, you want to come to heaven, here's how you get here. How do you get here? Not by earning it, not by working for it, not by being good, but simply by accepting the grace that his son did for you by dying on the cross for you. And if I reject his condition for entering heaven, he's not being unloving. I'm just being dumb. He's not being callous. I'm just being illogical. And can anybody blame me? Can anybody blame God if I choose to say, I'm going to go my way out this door into eternity? No. It's my choice. Now, there's one other eternal reality we need to cover before we can actually look at the text today. And that is this. There's no chance. There's no second chance after you die. You get to choose where you're going to spend eternity, but you have to choose now while you're alive, not after you're dead. In other words, I can't walk out this door my way and then say, oh, by the way, I don't like this. I want to go back over here. No, God says, I gave you an entire lifetime to make the right decision, and you didn't take it. You kept putting it off. I gave you an entire lifetime. So there is no halfway house between heaven and hell. There's no little intermediate state. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. Now, Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, and there was a guy next to him who had been a criminal his entire life, God had done only bad his entire life. And on his last seconds, he has a deathbed conversion, and he's dying on the cross next to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into paradise. That's all he knew about salvation, is Jesus can save me. He didn't know all the doctrines. He didn't know all the fancy words. He didn't know all of the back behind it. He just said yes to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, you're going to have to spend about a year in purgatory. No, that's not at all what he said. Jesus looks at the guy next to him and he goes, today you'll be with me in paradise. Boom, that's it. What does it take to get into heaven? You say yes to Jesus Christ. He says today, not next week, not next month, not in 3 or 4 years while people pray for you and hope you get out of limbo. No, he says today. The moment you die, you either go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. And it's a choice here on earth. And God has done everything to make sure you get into heaven. And we're going to talk about that. And that Jesus said, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says it like this here on the screen. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. The reality is there are two places. Now, friends, this is so important. Because what we're talking about today has your eternal destiny. Now, maybe some other time when I've been preaching, you've used it for a good nap time. This would not be a good week to take a nap. Because your eternal destiny depends on this one. And I want everybody to be absolutely certain when we finish here today that when you go out, you know without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to heaven. And there's every reason you can settle that issue today. So today I want to ask four questions. Why does hell exist? What is it like? How do I avoid it? That's the important one. And what do I do once I know all of this? First, why does hell exist? Well, there are two fundamental reasons. You might write this down. The first is because sin and evil exist. Sin and evil exist. Now, there's some people who want to deny the existence of evil. And they think that actually the world is full of people and we're basically good. That human beings are fundamentally by nature unselfish, always kind, always good, and always thinking about others. And I want to say to you, have you turned on your television? Have you picked up a newspaper? Do you listen to the radio? You might want to just travel with me on one of my world trips. Because the world is filled with broken relationships, broken promises, rape, abuse, murder, child molestation, all kinds of evil, terrorism, people who strap bombs onto themselves. The world is filled with evil. It's all around you. We pick up the newspaper and we read about young, beautiful co-eds, student body presidents of their college, who this week were shot randomly. Friends, that's evil. We read about people, little children picked up on the street and sold into sex trade, trafficking. That's evil. Fundamentally, the Bible teaches that it is my nature to not think about you. It's my nature to be selfish, and it is your nature to be selfish. You think about you more than anybody else. You're not naturally thinking, what's best for other people? What's best for the world? What does God want me to do? You're thinking about, what do I want to do? What's easy? What's convenient? What would I like to do?
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Reality of Hell from our series called Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, or maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places. Heaven or hell. Some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series, as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital, you'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they are making. In this series, Rick tackles questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would he send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Fundamentally, the Bible teaches that it is my nature to not think about you. It's my nature to be selfish, and it is your nature to be selfish. You think about you more than anybody else. You're not naturally thinking, what's best for other people? What's best for the world? What does God want me to do? You're thinking about, what do I want to do? What's easy? What's convenient? What would I like to do? Now, maybe if you lived 75 years ago in Little House on the Prairie on a farm, you might think that people are basically good. But with all the media around us today, we know that the world is filled with evil. And evil things happen, and it happens all of the time. And what was true in Noah's day is still true today. Notice this verse up here on the screen. In Genesis chapter 8, 5 and 6, it says this. The Lord observed that the extent of people's wickedness, and he saw all their thoughts were consistently and totally evil. And he, that's God, was sorry that he had ever made them. He was sorry that he made the human race. And it broke his heart. God looked down on the world in Noah's day and he goes, man, what a mess they've made of this. What they do to themselves, what they do to each other, what they do to the planet that I gave them. They've really made a mess of this. They've really screwed it up. And that is the way God feels today. And it says it broke his heart. Did you know that God has emotions? Of course he does. In fact, the reason you have emotions is because God made you in his image. The reason you have the ability to feel, the reason you have the ability for your heart to be broken is because God is an emotional God and you were made in his image. And when God looks at all the things that are done in the world that are wrong and bad and evil, it breaks God's heart. And when people say to me, where is God when people get molested and people are abused and people are betrayed? And where is God with the rape and the murder and the world's terrorism and crime and all? Where is God? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's weeping. He's grieving. He's brokenhearted. He said, well, why doesn't he just stop it? Oh, he could. God could eliminate all the evil in the world just like that. Just get rid of all of us. Where do you think it comes from? It comes from our poor choices. You're not telling me you've always made every decision right that's never hurt anybody else. No, we hurt each other. Now, God gave us a free will. And that is our greatest gift. It's also our worst curse because we don't always make wise choices. And while God gave us this free ability to choose right or wrong, good or bad, evil or righteousness, and he gives us this choice because we're created in his image. He gave us the free will. We often choose the wrong thing. And as a result, people get hurt intentionally and unintentionally. Now, God could take away all the sin, all the suffering, all the sickness, and all the evil in the world just like that. All he has to do is take away your free will and mine too. Now, why does God give us a free will? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted you to choose to love him, not be forced to love him. You see, it's not real love if you're forced to do it. If you are forced to love me, it's not real love. If I'm forced to love you, it's not real love. Love is only love if you can choose not to love. And God gives you the free choice. You don't have to love God. You don't have to trust God. You don't have to obey God. You don't have to follow in the ways. You don't have to fulfill the purpose he created for you. You can make your life a total mess. Why did God do that? Because he wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to do right. And God wanted a family that would live with him forever. And he wanted to produce a race of tested individuals who voluntarily choose to love and do the right thing. And that can't be possible unless we're allowed to do the wrong thing. So it is our greatest blessing and our greatest curse. And it still breaks God's heart today. When we hurt ourselves, when we hurt other people, when we hurt the planet that he's put us on. Now, you need to understand that God allows sin on earth simply for this choice, so you have a choice. But he does not allow any sin in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. There are no imperfections in heaven. It is completely perfect. So there's no sin there. Now that raises an important problem. Heaven is a perfect place, and that means only perfect people get to go there. Otherwise, if God let imperfect people come in with their selfishness and their sin and their sorrows and all of their sicknesses, and then it'd be just like earth. It wouldn't be heaven anymore. I don't want to go to a heaven where Hitler can do his thing, or Pol Pot can do his thing, or a rapist or a genocider, like we heard about last week, can do their thing. No, I want to go to heaven where it's perfect and we're away from all of that. So only perfect people get to go there. Now that's a problem, because I'm not perfect and neither are you. Now David asks this question in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 15, 1 and 2, David says, Lord, who may enter your holy tent? Now holy tent is just a euphemism, an analogy for coming into your presence. It's heaven. Who may enter your holy tent? Only those who are completely blameless and innocent, and those who always do what is right. Uh-oh.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have, but nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete audio series as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital, you'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they are making. In this series, Rick tackles questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would he send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. And if you like, you can simply text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. And thanks in advance for your support. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
We all have a choice between heaven and hell. You see, you get to choose. You get to choose where you'll spend eternity. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ and you accept his gift of forgiveness, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. But the thing is, none of us know how long we're going to live. So you need to choose now. You might live to 80 or 90 years of age, or you might only live 1 week. For some of us, tonight might be our last night on earth. So here's my suggestion to you. Don't wait to decide to follow Jesus. And you can learn more about living with God in eternity at my website, rickwarren.org. And you look for the tab, Know God, and you'll find a video and a guide there explaining what it means to trust your life to Jesus. If you've never done that, please go to that site and check it out. I want you to listen to it as if your life depends on it, because it does. And if you've trusted your life to Jesus through Daily Hope, would you let me know about it? I want to pray for you. I want to thank God for you. And you can let me know by writing to me at rick@rickwarren.org. Now, thanks again for listening today. As I always say, I love you and I care for you and I'm praying for you. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.